done, can you carry me? When I'm losing my mind, can you hold me? If I'm hazy blue, can you help me?
Beautiful day, beautiful day. Loving this Saturday. It's nice and warm where I'm at. The sun is out. You couldn't ask for better. So welcome to the Awakening Wave Show. It is the ride of transformation while we're going through the ascension. So today, I just kind of want to give you a little bit of overview for those of you that are just joining us. This is a talk show exploring spiritual awakening and ascension, and we are all focusing on the integration of spirituality in all aspects of our life. So each of the episodes that I will be bringing forth will be deep in discussion on a variety of topics. We'll have some listener interactions. And for those of you that want to send in some questions, you can send them to the email awakeningwavecr@gmail.com. If you would like to ask any questions in regard to the show that we are having today. And today I have Ellen and Sean from across the ocean, two of my fellow soul sisters, which I will bring on momentarily. So I just want to do a little quick recap on 2 weeks ago on the Creation Lightship Telegram channel. I actually introduced that as the wrong title. It's actually Q&A at the Creation Lightship Telegram channel with A. So it's Q&A Creation Lightship. All right. So I just wanted to clarify that. So the topic today is relationships and new sexuality and how it looks and feels in the here and now. So I was kind of going back to one of the shows that went on during August, and I had called in and asked a question in regard to the masturbation. And it was kind of a touchy little topic there, but the answer that I received from Q and the Mermaid in regard to that, whether it was programming or if it is a natural human desire. And the Mermaid kind of talked a little bit about procreation. I'm trying to say that correctly. Sorry about that. And how our interpretation was confusing regarding theirs. So I looked up the word procreation and sexuality. So here are some definitions. So I always like to look up the word so I have a better understanding. So for procreation, the short term of it is called strongest match. Just getting a sip of water there. And the other definitions were breeding, conception, generation, impregnation. Interesting. And then there was actually one in regard to the Bible term. And the Bible term was a command to multiply, not to just sit around and enjoy their day, okay, or enjoy our day. But it seems to me if you're going to, you know, procreate, don't you need to kind of relax and chill a little bit before you start feeling that, you know, desire? So I sit here and go, wow, was that our very first job? Kind of sounds more like a demand. Another definition from Google was humans are programmed to reproduce. And when I heard the word programmed, and I'm like, huh, a program, interesting. So I went on to check out what sexuality means in terms of how we interpret it. Means of activity of conceiving and bearing offspring. Okay, very similar to procreation, creating another life, which I personally think is absolutely beautiful when you're with that right person. So there are actually two types of sexuality. One of them is asexual and then sexual. When I looked up asexual, it's more affiliated with plants, you know, like starfish. You know, I think it's just like a one-time thing with one person or thing or plant, etc. And then it also said, yes, clones. And I went, huh. But it's also said, although clones need a medical intervention, or you could also call it programming. So you create the clone. I'm not exactly sure how they're created, but Ellen, what are your thoughts on that? Or what are your feelings, Sean and Ellen? You want to chime in on those definitions? You guys there?
Hi, this is Sean. Interesting definition. Right in the deep end. I just find it interesting, the English language in general, and then just the choice of words there around what you've mentioned. So sounds to me that they're quite similar and that we are, in definition terms, programmed keeps coming up. So I just find that really interesting that they've both come up in your definitions as you read that out.
So what are your feelings in regard to relationship and creating and procreating? Can you kind of share some of your experiences and challenges in the new day that we're in, the here and now?
Whoa, massive question. Sure. I'll share a little bit and then I'd like to hand it over so I don't hog the show. So I guess for me, it's kind of like, as whatever you want to call it, ascension, awakening journey has begun or has started, there seems to be quite a seismic shift, or we're pivoting towards transforming all sorts of relationships. And to me, this means, you know, things like your sexuality and how we perceive that, and also, you know, what you've mentioned there, the sort of like procreation component. And so for me, I see relationships kind of fundamentally being questioned, restructured, as we shift towards something that I would say to me feels more normal and natural. Because I'm speaking from experience, and only from my experience, I noticed that my relationships that I've had, whether that be a significant other before sort of what I would consider my awakening process, versus now looking at a relationship, I'm looking at them in two very different ways. So I'll probably stop there and I'll open it up to yourself, Robin, or Ellen.
Well, my experience is, you know, in regard to relationship, I'm on the sixth decade of my time here on planet Earth, and I've had three serious relationships, and one of them was I was actually married. And I always said if I got married, it didn't work, I would never do it again. And I've kind of stuck to that because I just kind of feel like people change. And with everything that's happening and all of the evolution that we're going through and learning about our spirits and who we really are, at this point in time in my life, my relationship is with my spirit. And I lost contact with my spirit for quite some time. Actually, I wasn't even aware of that. I really didn't have a lot of self-love. And I was so busy in my relationships, giving the love and always thinking that I can make things better for them and make their life so great so that they feel as much love I do. But the only problem was, is I never got that reciprocation back as far as the feeling of love back, you know, the heartfelt kind. And so where I'm at in my relationship, or in my, where I'm at right now in my sexuality, and I'm discovering the energies of the body and how they flow. And then we've also learned that we got more than just one body, you know, we've got the seven different bodies. I shouldn't say the auric field. That's where I'm going. I put a little list together. Here it is. Okay. So you have your physical, your astral, your mental, and your causal, the buddhic, the atmic, and the mundane. So I don't know if you guys are reading the 64 gene keys, but that's kind of where I'm at. I'm keeping busy with discovering who I am. And right now, as far as getting into a partnership with someone else, I feel that that would be a distraction for me at this time because of my spiritual evolution. And that's kind of where I'm at. So I'm finding myself enjoying being alone when I'm not working and just going within and just taking space for grace. And that's how I am, you know, traveling down this journey, per se. What about you, Ellen?
I think that basically there are just so many shifts. There's so much shifting around the question of relationships and friendships and just generally how we relate to others at this, time in the ascension cycle. It's so poignant that we're re-questioning, we're revisiting, our values and the programs that we've been running from and how we've been functioning and relating to others. And it's basically brought everything into question where we're re-finding ourselves, where we're entering like a new level of a relationship with ourselves. And that is, obviously shifting how we relate to others around us and outside of us. And I think that it's very interesting what you say about I would like to, I'm just spending a lot of time on my own and going inside and like I just said, rekindling that relationship with myself, because I think a lot of people are finding themselves in that position where it's really about going back to themselves before really looking outside to build relationships with others, and also the relationships that we do build with others and how we relate to others, be that a friendship or a romantic relationship, is shifting because we are finding this relationship with ourselves again. We're like rebuilding or refinding our way back. We're finding our way back home to our true essence, to who we truly are, and building a relationship to ourselves. And I think that's, everything that we ever thought about relationships and friendships and how we relate to others is being like turned upside down on its head, really. And we're rewriting it all, and we're rewriting it in an authentic way with integrity. And it's very, very interesting at the moment.
That's for sure. When I feel back at the time of the relationships that I was in, there was always conditions. And recently, when I took this little retreat and I met all you guys, I experienced unconditional love for the first time, and it's so amazing. And that's how you all came into my life. And I'm so blessed that I have relationships with the two of you, and I'm very honored that you are with me today. And the love that we felt during that time, just amongst and just playing and just having fun and laughing, it was just an amazing time. And that's what I'm going to be looking for. Well, not that I'm going to be looking for it. If it happens, it happens. That's the way I see it. If it comes into my life, and the twin flame thing, I know people talk about that all the time. And I think I understood that. I think the mermaids say that we all have one. Is that, did you guys listen to that show? I think it was last week. I feel that it was last week.
Yeah, I think they've mentioned it a few times now, and she did actually probably want to do a show on that coming up. They mentioned that, but yeah, I think it's just very interesting how we how I don't know about you guys, but what's really been interesting for me in the last kind of 10 years or so is the way certain relationships or certain people have come into my life, and I've really I've just known that I know them in some way, and I feel close to them, and I feel a connection with them, and not necessarily romantically or sexually, but I really feel a connection with this person, and knowing like I've known that person forever, although I hardly know them, and that's happened several times. So I think, I don't know about you guys, but when I have experienced this, it's made me kind of question the way I think about relationships and what my mind expects and how I've actually gone into friendships and relationships and how it's quite different how I approach these things now, because as I follow my spirit more, the doors open and I feel I can relate to people on a different level, and so much more integrity and authenticity in it. And it's a very different way to relate.
Absolutely. Sean, what's your take on it?
Yeah, I absolutely agree. You both said things that have piqued my interest that resonate. So Robin, you mentioned, unconditional love, and I think for me this is like front and center. And I think previously I've been kind of going into relationships with that position, that position of not holding expectations and just opening the heart and going for it. And a few times, I guess, I struggled with that, or the other person did, or it just wasn't really aligning because, the love program per se, or the legacy program, or where a lot of people are operating from, it's just not that. And so I was having immense amounts of challenge just on that front. But yeah, this sort of coming through the ascension cycle, this awakening process, things are changing, and I think it's wonderful. And you mentioned there just having a knowing when you're in spirit, just kind of like meeting someone and going, hold on, I have a connection. It's beyond just lust or things like this, or a program. It's actually like a remembrance as you come back into your knowing. It's like a memory from, who only knows where. And it's such a warm, fuzzy feeling. And I relate to both of what you've said. And so for me, as we move through this process, I just feel like, if you're open in your heart, then these things are happening, like what you've shared more and more often. It's almost like mini miracles in a sense. How about for you, Robin? Have you experienced this sort of like you're meeting people and you're like, wow, it's like I've known you from somewhere?
Well, once in a while, not now. I'm trying to think. I'm trying to think of a particular one, but I do know what you say about the heart. I just want to kind of chime on into that real quick before I forget about it, because
Sure.
that short-term memory per se. So when it comes to the heart, in my last relationship, and after listening to Q's last show, I kind of don't want to go back there, but I felt like that I was betrayed. And it's probably the worst feeling that I've ever felt in a departure of a relationship. But when I look back on it now, there were things going on in my heart, my intuition, which is connected to my heart. Okay. And it was like screaming at me, like, you are not happy. Get out of this situation. And the intellect, my mind, said, don't listen to your intuition, because your significant other says that women that listen to their intuition are, crazy. But when you get that feeling inside of you, and it's so strong and it's there all the time, it's telling you, hey, you're not happy. Do something about it. And then you get the physical, not the instinct. Yeah, the physical instinct, okay? And you know that you're not happy in this situation. So I sit there and go, did I create that breakup? Because it was just eating at me because I knew I wasn't happy in the situation. And the betrayal was not his thing, because that was his experience that he had to go through. And I chose to do or be with him, and that was my experience. But what I've come to realize is that I betrayed my spirit. I didn't listen to my spirit. And I think that's where I went down the wrong path. And so here I am, what, a little over 2 years later, and I'm still working on opening the heart. And so sometimes when I talk about that, I feel this emotion of a wave wanting to come up, tears flow, because there's still stuff there. And as I evolve and learn more about my spirit and go within, I'm learning to process those feelings and let them come up and just let them go. And it's like amazing how much you feel once you do that. But because of all the stuff that we have inherited through all the DNA and our past lives and our past ancestors, there's so much more. And it is a work in progress, and there's a lot of work to do, not just the physical aspect of it, but it's every inch of your soul, your heart, everything. And that's kind of where I am. I'm still trying to open up the heart back to where it was, when I was so giving of all my love. But I have to learn not to forget about myself in the process.
I see. Yeah, how about, sorry.
Go ahead. You go.
No, you go. I'm all fine.
I was just, I just wanted to say about, you know, just answer to that, what you just said. I think it's the heart wall, you know, where we're all, once we've experienced true unconditional love, which we have recently, you know, we've been in a container of this pure unconditional love, and it's something that you don't forget. Like once you have a flavor of that, once you've actually experienced that in its true form, then you kind of have a yardstick. You have something to, you know what you're dealing with, and you know that, you know, it's available and you can be that, you can experience that, you can practice unconditional love, you can receive and give it. And I think we're just not used to that. I mean, unconditional love is just not something that's free-flowing on this planet. It is very, what we experience in our relationships and from our parents is, you know, more often than not, very, very conditional. It's a very conditional form of love. And, you know, we have been programmed and conditioned into that. And to break out of that and truly feel, you know, true unconditional love, which is our ultimately our true essence, which we did at the retreat. We were lucky enough to experience that. And it was just so beautiful. Then I think, you know, this is the step to healing. And as I mean, from my experience, the more I feel that and I can step into that, the more I find it easier to relate to others, because I see others with fresh eyes. You know, I can see people that everyone's having their own unique experience, human experience in a physical vessel, and I can also, it makes it also easier to encounter people like with fresh eyes and ears every time, and not, you know, think about what they said yesterday or last week, or it's easier to be able to like stay in the moment and to open the heart. But it is a work in progress, right? Like as you said, Robin, I agree with that.
For sure. And, you know, it's also really nice, too, to have a place where you can actually, you know, during the time at the retreat, we actually, for me, my experience, I was able to have that free time with no interruptions to really go within and you know, just feel. And it was so amazing when I came back here to drop, as you said, drop back into reality. I'm pretty sure I floated for about a week, but I have been carrying that grace. So I definitely had a transformation when I was there, because when I went back into the workforce, I had a lot of people telling me they noticed a change in me. And it's because I'm trying to be more heart-centered, and not trying. I just want to be naturally that way, just be. And what started this whole thing for me is when I did the Wounded to Wisdom class with Lucia Nicola Evans. Did you hear I said her name right? She's going to love that. And when I started, when I had my opportunity to start talking about my situation, and I'm like, oh, here's a chance for me to really get down on this last relationship and just pound it to the pave. And when I started talking, I went right past the relationship straight into my childhood. And I'm like, how interesting was that? So I think a lot of the things that we bring into our adult lives are a lot of stuff that, you know, sometimes trauma, sometimes, you know, just conditioning from how we were raised, that we bring that into our adult life and through our relationships. And, you know, you don't realize that you're doing that until you open your heart and you start going within and you become more aware. Like I'm really becoming aware of a lot of things. I stand back and I go, did I just say that? Okay, we need to process that. Do you guys ever do that?
That's right.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, just putting it out there, like who hasn't? I think it's almost a human experiential condition. I loved what you said, or what you both said, right? Like for me, coming back from the retreat, there's just this understanding, because a lot of these things you really have to experience it in the human vessel. And then as part of that, it's like I notice this huge contrast between that sort of bliss, flow, unconditional love state, that container where anything and everything is possible, especially like in terms of relationships, you know, just as an example, having met all these amazing women at this retreat and having an instant connection that goes just beyond like even gender or whatever you want to call it in this day and age. But, you know, and it was just lovely and it was incredible. And there's really no words in the English language. Like I kind of struggle to even find the words to describe that. It's just so deep and so instantaneous. And that's that remembrance and that knowing that our spirit is completely familiar with. But then there's the awareness that you speak about, Robin, and that's, for me, it's kind of like every sort of minute or second I'm able to kind of be in that observation mode, if I can call it that, and I'm able to see myself say things and see how I react and respond to people. And I find just having that awareness and being able to slow things down gives you sort of more empathy, more heart, more capacity to really, like, you know, establish a greater understanding with others. I don't know if you've both found that as well, that sort of slowing down. Yeah.
Oh yeah, absolutely. When I noticed when I start becoming aware, it's a feeling that I get. And before, it used to be in the head. And I'm not saying that I don't get thoughts. And I am starting to be aware of when I'm in my head. And you know, I work a lot of hours, so when I get like that during my work hours, we have a tree in the back of the building, and I go to the tree, and I literally stand underneath it and take deep breaths, and I do my head to heart drop. And then I do increase my life force energy. And I take some deep breaths, and all of a sudden the wind starts picking up and my hair starts blowing. And I'm like, oh, the tree is listening to me. I love it. So yeah, I definitely am having lots of feelings, and it's just amazing how you navigate through your day to day knowing that all this great stuff is happening. And that's just how my days have been, you know, and they go so fast, and everything is just, you know, we hit a little, what do you call it? A block in the road every now and then, but you just have to process it, feel it, let it go. Right.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. And I think exactly. And I think, you know, this also brings it back home. You know, we're coming home to ourselves and finding out, you know, how to fall in love with ourselves again. And then from that, we can relate, as Sean said so perfectly, can relate to others in a very different way, in a much more healthy way. And then I guess when we start looking at, you know, romantic relationships and, you know, partnerships in that sense, we start to, well, yeah, I think a lot of people are going through this at the moment, that we begin to observe our program thinking, the expectations that we have of partners and what the expectations we have, you know, of ourselves in a partnership. And you start to get down to, you know, the deep questions of what do I actually want? How do I want to relate to this person? What am I truly seeking in a connection? And you know, this goes kind of hand in hand with that unconditional love, because I think a lot of us have based a lot of relationships over the years on you know, trauma and what's missing in us, you know, the holes or the voids that we want to fill spaces, empty spaces, emptiness inside us. And you know, that's, again, it's a lot of mind energy to try to like figure all that out. You know, I've got my list of my perfect partner and there's 50 points and he has to be like this and he has to look like that and he can't eat that. He has to do this. Like, it's kind of crazy when we just drop into that heart space and And we've got that awareness. We've got a higher awareness, and we start to ask the deeper questions about, how we actually want to be, and where we're coming from, and what we really seek,
Yeah.
from a place of self-love. What do you
Absolutely.
think about that?
Absolutely. And I will be very honest, when it comes to opening up the heart again in a partner relationship, it scares the shiz out of me, because I'm to the point right now, am I gonna be able to be myself? Am I gonna be able to, you know what I'm saying? And I'm trying to explain this, but I just kind of feel like there's still some blockage there for me. And I know there's more work that I have to do. And that's why right now it's really important for me to stay, with myself and just keep, navigating through this journey of evolution. And yeah, that's probably going to be my biggest challenge is opening up that door again, because it, as much as I know that it was my, that was part of my experience, you can't forget about the pain and sorrow that you felt, because sometimes sorrow is what you have to go through to evolve to a higher frequency. And and what I'm learning with the Gene Keys, and I hope I'll do an episode about that too, because it's very interesting, about who we are and what we're all about, and discovering the different things about ourselves, about our spirit, and it's not just this body. So it's way bigger than that for me, and I'm in no hurry to get into a partnership at this time until I, and I'm not saying that if it came along and it felt right that I wouldn't be open to it, but right now the focus is on me. And Sean, I know you're single and you're probably half the decades I am. So what are some of your challenge in regard to that, if that was to ever happen to you again?
Yes, I was going to ask everyone the question about, well, what are some of the challenges? Because I think for me, this is where a lot of people are struggling. And I can, I'll only ever speak from sort of my human experience. But some of the biggest personal challenges is putting yourself out there again. And the question that comes, through my spirit as I throw myself into the fire again is kind of like, how do I do that operating, from a position of love and not
Not
fear?
getting burned, right?
Correct, correct. And like, it's so damn hard. Am I allowed to say that?
Sure.
It's just, I don't have an answer. It's not definitive, but when I drop into my heart, I find the sort of empowerment or the access to be able to just not think about it and just do it. I'm still open to sort of putting, myself out there and remembering that we're living in the present moment, right? So whatever may have happened 2 years ago, 4 years ago, 5 years ago, no matter how many people, I potentially have had to let go because we're on divergent paths and it is their choice. It's actually all fine because, yeah, I'm just following my spirit. And if I love myself, first and foremost, then the rest will fall into place. I say this like I'm some sort of got it all worked out person, but no, it's a daily challenge. It's like, it's a work in progress as we've spoken about. How about for you, Ellen?
Well, I was just gonna actually ask you guys, how much do you, I mean, this is also an interesting question about, dating and relationships. How much is it beneficial to be proactive in terms of like, manifesting your partner and, finding the your life partner, or, just dropping into the heart and being in that, neutral place. And like you said, Robin, just really, staying with yourself and coming home to yourself more and really like cultivating that relationship with yourself and like just having a deep knowing that, that your soulmate, your better half, your other half, whatever you want to call it will find you, that you will find each other. And that's an interesting question for me these days. I mean, I am married and haven't been on the dating circuit for a while, but I'm interested to hear your views on how proactive is being proactive in looking for someone, as you said, Sean, just then putting yourself out there. I find it interesting how we might go about that, or how much is too much. I mean, obviously that's not an answer. It's different for everyone. It's very individual, but what do you guys think about that? Actually proactively putting yourself out there, or versus just being in a neutral space and trusting the flow of the universe, if you like.
Well, what I'd like to say is that in this time, I shouldn't say the word time, but in this here and now that we're in, the opportunity is there a lot for me, but the men that approach me, it's all a sexual thing. And that is just, it's like and I shouldn't say a big turnoff, but I'm over that. I'm past that. Okay. I want more. I mean, yeah, that's important, that physical connection, because I am one sexual person. I love to connect physically, and I do. I love the hug, kiss, all that stuff. But I want it to be more deeper. I want that heart connection. And in the past relationships, and I hate going back there because there's always been conditions, and not just on that person, but me, because that's how I was brought up. I was raised Catholic, and your body is your temple. You don't procreate until you marry the first man. You must be a virgin, and I did all that, and here I am, divorced and single. So it didn't work out so well. But it's also too because I'm a very adventurous type person, and I like change, and I like to do things, and I don't want everything to be the same thing every day. And I get one of my shadows in the 64 gene keys is dullness. So I tend to get bored, and I want, okay, what's next? There's got to be something more fun out there. So that's kind of how I am, and I just got to find somebody. No, I don't have to. I would like to find somebody that kind of is on that same path. Per se. Sean?
Yeah, that makes sense. Like I hear you. For me, I've gone through quite a tumultuous process on this front, but super interesting. I'm at a place now where actually love being myself and by myself. I'm totally open to the possibility or the opportunity of meeting and aligning with someone, but it needs to be like positively geared and that right sort of heart connection. Because very similar to you, Robin, yeah, I mean, I've been there, done that, got the sticker or badge or whatnot, and it was a great sort of experience, and I needed to obviously go through that to know and be where I am now. But yeah, I kind of want to do the next evolution of that, if I can call it that. I'm looking for sort of the deeper connection. And I'll just be, honest with you ladies. I think I've spoken to you about it before. I've never been someone that's into small talk. So that was another quite a challenging sort of thing in relationships, previous relationships, that I found that I just want to get all philosophical, get right down
No,
and talk
not
about
you.
everything and anything. And for a lot of people, that's just like, whoa, like, have you taken your pills today, sort of thing. But it's just honestly too intense and too much. And so yeah, now I've gotten to a place where I'm not really seeking it, if I can use that word, if that makes sense. I'm just being myself, trying to love myself more every day and be more authentic, and then just see like what comes up. Yeah, I do. I'm of the knowing that, yeah, that person or that being will show up at the right time. They're meant to.
Yeah,
Yeah, that's where
beautiful.
I'm at.
What about you, Sean? Excuse me, Ellen. What is it like, challenges as far as being married? Because I know you shared with us, your amazing story or not your amazing relationship with your husband. And it sounds like you guys are pretty connected in what you shared with us.
Yeah, it's been an interesting journey with my husband. So, as I've shared before with you guys, it was really when I changed how I relate to people and I started to follow my heart a lot more and just came into this space where I was just even open to my husband coming into my life. So, you know, all of the expectations, the programs, everything that my list had just dropped away. I just screwed up my list, threw it in the waste, and my husband turned up, who's very, very different to anyone who I'd been with before, you know, partners that I'd had before. And, you know, if I hadn't been in a open-hearted space, if I hadn't been willing to give him a chance, as it were, to even go there and be open to a possible relationship with him, then I would have missed this amazing man that I'm now with. But it's you know, it is quite challenging. You were saying before, Sean, about, you know, divergent views, and, you know, it's just that we are all having our very, very individual, unique human experience. And it's, you know, as we're well on this awakening path and all of the inner work that we're doing, despite all of that, you know, relationships do have their challenges. It's, you know, communication is one very challenging thing I find. And, you know, also views of the world. I mean, we often have quite different views of the world, and that can be challenging, but it's not a deal breaker. You know, we can talk about these things, and I'm fortunate that he's open enough to be able to take on what I say, and, you know, smart enough to be able to actually like consider it and respect it and just listen to it, you know. So that for me is very important. It's just not instantly, you know, God, you're crazy, you know, like, I don't want to hear this shit, just shut up now, you know. It's respectful. I think respect, when there's a deep respect for the other, that's very important. So very fortunate to have that.
Absolutely. Sounds beautiful. So some of the challenges that, you know, when I called or talked or chimed in on that show back in August, and I talked about the Kundalini and the masturbation and all that. And so I'm finding that the energies, you know, how Mermaid said, okay, if you're comfortable with doing it with yourself, then, and, you know, I said, okay, yeah, I'm like definitely all about moving the energies through the body, because it is a fact that we do go, everybody goes through Kundalini from what I've read. And it is an unblocking of all of your chakras, which are connected to, from what I'm interpreting, to parts of your body. So if you are not aware of that, because a lot of times people call the doctor and they have all these things wrong with them, and a lot of the blockages that come from that without making or having that energy flow through you the way. So sexuality is really important in that aspect. And, you know, I'm not going to share this on live radio, but I have experienced that. Or maybe I will. So, you know, when I'm in that moment and that aha comes, it's just like you can feel the energy going through your body. And it's like, if you really are focusing on the energy and how it feels in your body, you can actually, as Mermaid say, move it up, says, move it up. It's beautiful, actually. So, yeah. So I just had to share that. And Sean, what about you as being a single person, not saying that you have to say anything you don't want to, if you know what I mean, but what are your challenges in regard to that? Because we all have desires, and I don't believe that everything is, I mean, if you have to look at a picture or some kind of porn thing to excite yourself, then that is programming, is what I interpreted from that.
But yeah, I was about to use those words or similar words as you've just shared. And that, to me, it's just, that's just the, I call it like legacy programming that, you know, we've been lovingly installed with jokes, right? But I don't know, there's a lot of things. I mean, this topic is so broad, you could probably do another show just on this front. But for me, the whole concept of, you know, movement and energy, and even like where our chakras are and all of that sort of stuff, it's all getting redefined as well. I do believe like it's really back for me to the flow of energy. And when you're in that heart space, when you're in that spirit and you're not in the mind, because we aren't a mind or our emotions, then everything just flows better. I'm quite simple when it comes to this sort of stuff. And look, I'm just putting it out there. I haven't studied any Kundalini or anything like that. I do some basic Qigong exercises. Anything to do with movement, I feel like, is super helpful. And that's back to exactly what you're saying around it's the energy flowing through our body.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And for me, I love to exercise. I do. And this morning, you know, I went to the gym. I did my yoga. I find, you know, I learned about mind to body flow yoga. And I'm finding that is really, really helping me, because I learned during the retreat that some of the pain that we feel in, say, our lower back, our hips, are connected to your shoulders, and that we're actually, pain is like something that you're hanging on to. And so when you're able to move the energy through your body, it's a way to release it. And I find dancing is also something I love to do. I really love to dance. And we met a young lady on the retreat that does body movement, and we were able to participate in that. And I thought that was pretty fun. So that's what I like to do. What about you?
Shake that booty.
What?
You like to shake your booty. Yeah.
Body flow. Keep the energy moving, for sure. How about you, Ellen? Are you a dancer? You like the dance? You like to shake it?
I definitely think that the movement thing is so important. And, you know, there's definitely this whole... yeah, thing of Kundalini energy and, you know, and tantric sex, if you like. I mean, that's a whole, you know, it's a topic in itself, and I don't know too much about it, but I do feel that there's a deep inner wisdom there, that there's definitely, that we're coming back to this, you know, we're coming back to this wisdom. Like, it's just inside us, and there's a lot in what you just said about movement and getting the energy flowing, and, you know, very simple things actually, but we're kind of coming back home to these ideas of how we can truly, you know, I don't want to use the word heal ourselves, but, you know, just really, just to look after ourselves and to make sure that our physical vessels are also, you know, working properly, and there's, you know, relieving that, you know, stuck energy. It's just kind of all coming back now. And yeah, it feels like for me it's still very early days with this, you know, what you just described about the Kundalini energy and flowing energy, and yeah, but it does feel definitely very, very important. And I also feel I often like tap into the energy of like Mary Magdalene and Jesus, and just the whole thing that they were, you know, their teachings are, they're just, I don't know how I know it, but I just know that there's so much in that, and it's just so, so deep and so interesting. It's like our true nature, you know, how they dealt with, you know, how they approached, not approach, but, you know, what they did with like their procreative activities, and, you know, every procreation was so, you know, that it was very, very planned and organized and done with the utmost of integrity and love. And just the whole thing with, you know, the way that, you know, sex was practiced, or, you know, procreation was practiced, is completely what we're not used to, and we're coming back to that, you know. And I think these simple things like, you know, exploring oneself and movement and dance, and and Kundalini yoga, or there's so many things that we're starting to like rekindle this and find ourselves again, I think, in it very, very gradually and slowly.
Absolutely. It is just a definitely a different experience all the way around when it comes to moving the energy. So yeah, lots of great stuff. Have you partaked in anything like yoga or anything like that since the last time I saw you, Ellen?
I practice yoga every day or most days, and I like I like doing breath work as well, as well, that I find can help. And I also like movement. I love fast walking, like Nordic walking, also jogging, but I have to say I'm really enjoying walking at the moment. Brisk walking is really, really enjoyable too.
Yeah, absolutely. And I do partake in the breathing myself. Actually, I have been incorporating that when I do personal training with a lot of my clients. And I always say to them, how does that feel? Can you just feel like the release when you breathe like that? And so I have one lady that's just been coming in and she just does it automatically now. So it definitely helps release also. It's really good for you. Okay, what else do we have to chat about? You guys got anything else that you're interested in bringing for Sean? I know that we talked for an hour and a half the other day.
Oh yeah, I can talk the leg off a chair. No, for me, like just as you both were talking, and I know we don't have too much longer, but the word that keeps coming up is that sort of intention around everything that we're doing now, and this includes relationships. And that's just a word, as you both were speaking, that keeps coming up, like intention, intention.
I like that word better than manifest, I think, intentions, because it's really, and I've been very aware of this, that things that I say, I have been creating things, and it's really fun. It's getting more fun. So, we got 3 minutes left. I just want to say thank you so much for joining me today, and I hope we can collaborate again. I hope you guys are open to that maybe down the road. And happy day to you. Love you so very much and appreciate you coming and sharing your wisdom with us.
Thanks for having me, Robin. It was awesome. Really.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much.
Yep, anytime. I love you guys. You're like amazing, both of you. And I look forward to meeting again in person.
Love you, Robin.
Love
Love
you
you
too.
too. Beautiful day.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.